Well, let us turn in our Bibles, please, this evening to Proverbs chapter 31, the book of Proverbs, the 31st chapter. This is going to be our final message in the book of Proverbs. I kind of hate getting here. It's like leaving an old friend. We've been here so long and derived so many practical lessons from this book. But it's all on tape, and you can go back and re-listen to it all. But anyway... The focus of our study this evening is going to be on verses 10 through 31, Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. Beginning at verse 10, Proverbs 31, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Now, in the passage before us, we have an illustration and a description of the virtuous woman. Excuse me. This description is of interest to all classes of people. First of all, it's of interest to parents who are raising daughters. This passage tells you what kind of character traits that you want to train into your daughters and what kind of character traits you want to train out of your daughters. Women, of course, are not naturally this way as a result of birth, but rather as a result of conversion and of instruction. So this is how you train your daughters to be godly women and ultimately to be a suitable future marriage partner. It is also of interest to single adults, both males as well as females. It's of interest, of course, to the single man because it tells him what kind of a wife he should choose as he surveys the field of potential candidates. It tells him that character is critical, and that beauty is at best of moderate importance. What is really wanted and needed in a marriage partner is the beauty of good character. It, of course, tells the single woman how she ought to adorn herself if she wishes to attract a good and a godly man, because this is, of course, the kind of woman that a godly man will be looking for. This chapter is, if you will, a mirror in which you may look and by which you may dress your character and check your appearance. It will help you adorn the hidden character of your heart, which will, of course, very soon be very clearly revealed in your conduct, for what one is in their character cannot be hidden. Finally, it's of interest to married couples. Here is a guide by which a husband can disciple and train his wife. The man who, by careful discipleship and training, moves his wife's character towards these goals really nourishes and cherishes his own flesh and makes a comfortable home for himself when he trains his wife to be this kind of woman, as well as making a comfortable home for his wife, for she is the most happy who is the most godly. And of course, here is a guide by which a wife, a married woman, may check and evaluate herself, and a model after which she may aspire. Clearly, the woman under consideration here is married and has children. And so all too many women forget what they ought to be like and what they need to aspire to be. All too many women aspire to be like those they see in the movies, but rather they should aspire to be like those they see in biblical passages, such as this passage. It says in Proverbs 14 and verse 1, "Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." And if you, as a married woman, wish to build up your marriage and its happiness and the blessedness of your home, then simply imitate this model. On the other hand, if you want to destroy your home and your marriage and pluck it down with your hands, then just simply do the opposite of what this passage contains and counsels. If we were to take this passage and sum up the substance of what it was saying, we would have to say that it's saying simply this: a woman needs to build her life and her character around her husband and her family, not around herself. A woman needs to build her life around her husband and her family, not around herself. The curse of our day is women who serve themselves rather than their husbands, who selfishly demand that he take care of himself in the domestic realm while she is off pleasing herself. If Proverbs 31 teaches anything, it teaches a woman the need to repent of selfishness and self-serving choices and to start building her life and schedule around that of the needs of her husband and of her children and of her home. Notice, if you will, verse 10. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies." The virtuous woman, as Lemuel's mother here is saying, is a rare person. Virtuous women were rare in Lemuel's day, and virtuous women are equally rare in our own day. They are hard to be found, and there aren't many of them around. The word here for virtuous is a word that means strength. It's translated that way numerous times in the scripture. And the idea here, of course, is a woman who has strength of character. A virtuous woman is a woman who is strong in godly character. She is not weak and vacillating when it comes to the things of God, one day living for her husband and God, and the next day living for herself and for sin and for the world. Instead, she is consistently strong for doing the right thing, even when it is the hard thing, the self-denying thing, the difficult thing. She is strong and solid in godliness. Faithfully day in and day out, she serves God and she serves her husband and she serves her children and she serves her home with diligence and consistency. Such a woman is an extremely valuable asset to her husband. It says here her price is far above rubies. And of course, rubies were the most valuable gemstone. You notice they don't talk about diamonds in the book of Proverbs. They're always talking about rubies. And they were the most valuable gemstone of that day. And what he is saying is that really she's priceless. And so if you are single, it is worthwhile for you to wait for such a woman and be sure that she already possesses and amply demonstrates these virtues over the process of time in her life. Many a man thought he was marrying a Rachel, but discovered to his dismay in the morning that it was Leah instead. Many women who seem to be godly at first glance turn out not to be. And it's too late after you're married to have another chance. So choose well, or else live your lifetime in regret. Well, let us then investigate this portrait of the virtuous woman and see what instruction it contains for us. In the first place, then, this evening, let us consider together her behavior towards her husband. Her behavior towards her husband. Now, this is contained in verses 11 and 12. Notice verse 11. It says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Now, what we are told here is that a woman's character is best measured by the way she treats her husband. You want to know what a woman is like? Just ask yourself the question, how does she treat her husband? Now, there are two things in particular that are brought out in these two verses. The first thing that's brought out is that she's trustworthy. He can trust her. Verse 11, it says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her." When he puts his trust in her, it's a safe thing to do, because that trust is never betrayed. Here is a woman who seeks to know her husband's mind and will in every matter, in order that she may carry it out. And so when he gives her instruction, when he gives her direction, when he gives her principle, when he gives her guidance, she can be safely trusted to do what she knows he wants her to do, even when he is absent, even when it is difficult, even when others are urging her to do differently. She will say, "No, this is what my husband wants. This is what I will do." So she can be trusted to carry out her husband's concerns and represent his best interest in every situation. And this is especially true in the area of spending money, which he addresses in the second half of verse 11. It says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." Now, spoil is that wealth and riches that were captured from the enemy when you went out and did battle. You read the biblical records of the warfare that was carried on, and after they defeated the enemy, they would go and spoil their tents, and they would gather up whatever wealth and riches that were available. And what is being said here is because this woman is trustworthy in the management of the finances of the household, he doesn't have to go out to battle and constantly be rebuilding his capital base because she's constantly squandering it in a way that is contrary to the financial best interests of the home. And so he does not need to worry that she will be wasteful with the money, that she will be self-indulgent with the money, that she will be careless with the money, so that he has to go out like a soldier and rob others of their wealth in order to rebuild his and make ends meet because she has spent it up. And so he can trust her with reference to all sorts of things, but especially he can trust her to be frugal and to stay within her allotted budget. And then the second behavior towards her husband that is mentioned here is not only that she is trustworthy, but that she is benevolent toward him. She is benevolent towards him. Notice verse 12. She will do him good, and she will not do him evil. And she will follow this pattern of behavior all the days of her life. Her goal is to seek his best interest in every situation. She does not do him evil, that is, she does not complain of him to others. She does not stab him in the back. She does not tell others of his faults, his weaknesses, his lack of wisdom, or his lack of perception. She does not try to make him look bad so she can then look good. She does nothing that would be contrary to his best interests. In a word, she does not do him evil. But rather, in every circumstance, she seeks to do that which will be a blessing to his health, that which will be a blessing to his reputation, that which will be a blessing to his godliness. The virtuous woman is always asking herself this question: what would be best for my husband in this situation? How can I do him good here? By what I say, by what I don't say, by what I do, by what I don't do. And this then is what she does. And so he can be confident that she will always put his best interests ahead of hers. And if it's a choice between meeting his needs or meeting her needs, she lets her needs go unmet and she meets his. And so she is supportive of her husband. She is not in competition with him. She is on his team. She is not on his back. She does him good and not evil all the days of his life. And that leads us to our second major point, which describes the virtuous woman. Having seen her behavior towards her husband in verses 11 and 12, notice secondly, her industriousness in her work. Verses 13 through 24. Her industriousness in her work. Verses 13 through 24. Now, this next section has to do with her attitude towards labor. That is, towards working. The virtuous woman is not lazy and she is not slothful. On the contrary, the virtuous woman is hardworking, and she works with a good attitude and with a willing spirit. Notice verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax, and here it is, worketh willingly with her hands. And the idea here is that she is not slothful, she is not lazy, she is not resentful of having to engage in the responsibilities of domestic labor. Here is a woman that does not have to be forced to get things done under duress or threat. On the contrary, she hates to sit still and do nothing, or to give herself to some idle and worthless amusement. Instead, she rejoices in the opportunity to be productive and to get things done that will be a blessing to her family. And so she shows initiative and she shows wisdom in attempting to meet the needs of her family, even if it involves some self-denial and some self-sacrifice and some difficulty. Notice verses 14 and 15. She is like the merchant ships, she bringeth her food from afar. And the idea here is not that you need to drive to Portland to do all your shopping all the time. The idea here is that she engages in whatever difficulty is necessary in order to provide the best for her family, given their situation and given their needs. And if that means a little extra distance, a little extra work, she is willing to do that. But it goes on to say in verse 15, she rises also while it is yet night and gives meat or food to her household and a portion to her maidens. One of the things that I've always appreciated about my wife is that it didn't matter what time of the morning I got up, she always got up and she fed me before I went out the door. And then, if she needed to, she'd go back to bed. But it is a situation here where she gets up early, she sees to it that everybody gets fed before they go out the door to work. She's thinking of others and their needs rather than her desires to stay in the sack a little longer. In verse 16, it says, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. Now, this is not a reference to real estate dealings. The word here for buy could also be translated taketh. And what this is really talking about here is not a reference to real estate dealings, but to securing a place for her to have a garden in order to provide foodstuffs for the family. She's going to plant a vineyard, so she's got some food in order to help supplement the needs of the family's consumption. In verse 17, it says, she girds her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. And all this verse is saying is she stirs herself up to her work and applies herself with vigor and intensity. And if the task is difficult, well, she strengthens herself to get the task done. Instead of collapsing before a huge pile of laundry, she strengthens her arm and she sticks with it until she gets it done or whatever the required task is. In verse 18, it says, she perceives that her merchandise is good, her candle goes not out by night. And so here's someone who not only gets up in time to take care of her household, but stays up long enough in order to see to it that everyone's needs are met before they go to bed. She knows her work is good. She knows her work is valuable. She knows her work cannot be done without. And so she stays up until the needs of her family have been fully met. And then in verse 19 through 24, we have an interesting section that deals with the clothing needs of the household. I'll read it and then comment on it. Verse 19, she lays her hand to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor as she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself covering of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles or belts or sashes unto the merchant. Now, all of these verses have to deal with her provision of clothing for her household. And of course, back in these days, clothing could be purchased, but it was very expensive, and it was certainly less expensive to make it. And so we see in verse 19, she sees to it that the clothing needs of her household are met, whatever it takes to produce covering for their body in terms of thread and cloth. She works willingly to do that. In verse 20, it says that if the poor need clothing, she seeks to meet that need as well. The poor often are spoken of in the scripture as being naked, and the idea wasn't that they were stark naked, but the idea is they didn't have enough clothing to keep themselves warm and protected in the climate in which they lived. And so she not only thought about making enough stuff for her own family, but also meeting the needs of the poor. Verse 21, she sees to it that all in her family are properly dressed for the season. So clearly she's going to provide something different for them in the winter than she would in the summer. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. And that word scarlet could also be translated with double garments or extra thick garments, is the idea there. So when it's cold, she sees to it that everybody has adequate clothing. And she looks well to her children so they're not shivering and inadequately protected from the elements. And then, in verse 22, she takes care of her own personal appearance. It says she makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. In other words, she looks to herself and her clothing that she always be neat and presentable and attractive given the resources she has at her disposal. She doesn't run around looking like she got dressed out of a dumpster, but rather she has a care to dress herself in such a way as to make her attractive to her husband and as to give her credibility in the eyes of the world. Verse 23, she takes care of her husband's appearance. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. When he shows up, they can see just by his clothing and dress that he has a woman that's looking out for him and that she is taking care of him, that he has clean clothes, that he has mended clothes, that he has clothes that match and are suitable for the occasion and the situation in which he finds himself. And then it says in verse 24, she makes him fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. And so she is industrious enough to do more than the bare minimum necessary to meet the needs of her family. She not only has enough left over to give to the poor, as it says in verse 20, but she also has enough left over of her labor to sell. And so here is an example of a woman who works hard enough in order to have a bit of a home business to supplement the financial needs of the home, just as she worked in the garden to do so as well. And so she adds to the family income as she is able, not that she is required to support the family or anything like that, but just her industriousness is always looking for creative ways to help make things stretch a little further and to supplement the resources. And so as we look at this section in verses 19 through 24, what we see here is that she works willingly with her hands, whatever form of expression that may take in the domestic realm. Here is a woman who is not lazy. Here is a woman who is industrious in her work. And even if these particular things wouldn't apply to us today, it's probably cheaper today to buy clothing than to make it if one watches for sales or one buys secondhand clothing. The point is that she looks well to the ways of her household, and she does so with diligence, intensity, and focus. And that leads us then to our third and our final point this evening. Having seen her behavior towards her husband, is that she has a behavior of trustworthiness. She has a behavior of benevolence towards him. Having seen her industriousness in her work, that she gets up early, she stays up late, She provides well for the domestic needs of her household. Notice, thirdly, her character and her reputation. Her behavior towards her husband, her industriousness in her work, her character and reputation. Verse 25 through 31. It says in verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. The result is her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised, give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. What we have here is a description of her character. And her primary adornment, notice, if you will, verse 25, her primary adornment is her character. One commentator said, after reading verse 5, strength and honor are her clothing. He says, if honor be your clothing, it will last a lifetime. But if clothing be your honor, it will very soon be threadbare. And so many women think that what they are is how they dress. And in fact, what they are is who they are. And so it says of the woman here that strength and honor are her clothing. She adorns herself in godly character, as Peter speaks of in 1 Peter chapter 3 when he says the women of old were adorned in godly character and meekness and in reverence towards their husband. The word strong here means that they are firm in their commitment towards doing right. They are not swayed to abandoning that which is right, to doing what's wrong. And then, of course, honor speaks of righteousness in their conduct and in their attitude. When a woman does right, speaks right, acts right, she earns or gains to herself honor, and people respect and recognize that honor. And so it goes on to say in verse 25, and she shall rejoice in time to come. You know, good character always brings good outcomes. And the reason why she's going to be happy in time to come is because she focused upon having right behavior towards her husband and of being industrious in her work and focusing more on being strong in doing right and having an honorable character and thus having delightful and happy outcomes. Another aspect of her character is not only that she is strong for doing right and honorable in her conduct, but she controls her tongue. Verse 26. It says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And so she has a sense of propriety about what she says and about what she doesn't say and who she says it to and the kinds of things that she speaks. Here is a woman who does not engage in gossip. She does not engage in evil surmising. She does not engage in slander. When she speaks of other people and when she speaks to other people, she speaks with kindness, and she is wise in the words she selects and the topics that she discourses on. And so she speaks the wisdom of the Word of God, and she speaks with kindness and gentleness to others. Verse 27 goes on to say that she has a reputation for a well-managed household. This is kind of a summary of what we have seen previously in verses 13 through 24. In which it says, verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. And so she's always asking herself, what does my household need? And that's what she gives herself to in the next 15 minutes. And then she says, what does my household need? And she gives herself to that for the next 15 minutes and on through the day. And so rather than being idle and sitting around and reading silly romance novels or watching television or idling away the time, being a gossip and a busybody with others, she's asking herself, what do I need to do to take care of my household? And so she looks well to the ways of her household. That is, she's observant. Nothing escapes her notice and care. She doesn't need her husband to come along and give her a list of 42 things to do today because she's already seen it, she's already got it figured out, and she's already on it. She looks well, thinks about. Nothing escapes her notice or her care. The result of all this, verse 28, is that her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Now, what's really being said in verse 28 is this: those who know her best praise her the most. That's remarkable when that's the case. To gain the praise of outsiders or people who don't know you very well, that's pretty easy. But to gain the praise of those who live with you day in and day out for years on end, that's remarkable. What it means, if that's the case, is that you are the real deal. Because who you are at home is who you really are. And you know, we can go to work and people can think we're wonderful, and we can go to church and people can think we're wonderful. But the question is, what does your children think of you and what does your husband think of you? To gain the praise of outsiders, as I said, is easy, but of those who live in your household, you have to be the real thing to achieve that. And the point is that if your wife and your mother is this kind of woman, then you need to rise up and call her blessed. And you need to praise her. You know, women don't get nearly enough thanks and gratefulness for the virtuous behavior they do engage in. And if your wife even remotely approaches these standards, you need to be filled with thankfulness and you need to tell her how grateful you are for the way in which she looks well to the affairs of her household. Verse 29, it says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. They will think that their wife and mother are the best wife and mother of any of them. It was really amusing and gratifying. The other day, we were getting ready to pray for lunch. You remember, out in the lunchroom. And I says, everybody here? And Nicholas looks around and he says, the most important woman isn't here. And, you know, he goes looks for his wife. I can tell this because he's not here tonight, right? And, you know, and then he says, no offense to any of the rest of you, right? And for him, she was it. And that's the way it ought to be. Every man in this assembly ought to think, my wife's the best woman in the assembly. My wife's better than them all. And of course, if you women want that kind of assessment, read the book, do what it says. You'll get the honor and the praise. In verse 30, we have the key to all that we have said. Here is the key to her character and her reputation. She focuses on God, not on her appearance. Verse 30, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, a lot of women try to make it on their looks, their sexiness, whatever. And that's all great. I'm all for that. God's all for that. However, those things are temporary and those things are passing, and we all know it. And what makes a woman beautiful is not so much her appearance as it is her character. We've all seen beautiful women who are very ugly, And we've all seen very plain women who are absolutely beautiful. And the difference is character. And character trumps appearance every time. And the reason why this woman has behavior towards her husband of being trustworthy and being benevolent to him, even behind his back. The reason why she is industrious in her work and looks well to the ways of her household. She eats not the bread of idleness is because she fears God. Because you know what? Hubby isn't there about 90% of the time. He's off sitting among the elders of the land. He's off earning a living, right? Okay? And she's at home, alone, unsupervised, no one looking over her shoulder except God. And if she doesn't have the fear of God in her heart and a desire to please God, even when no one else is looking, she'll never be this kind of a woman. And so she fears the Lord and everything else flows out of that. The fear of the Lord is the foundational motive for everything else. And so she does what she does not to please her husband. She does what she does not to be well thought of by others. She does what she does to please God. And that's her motive. And if she has any other motive as her primary motive, she will never be able to sustain this kind of behavior and this kind of character. And you know, men love their wives far more for their fear of God than they do for her beauty. What you want is a woman whose heart is in heaven while her hands are on earth. And that's what a virtuous woman is. Her heart's in heaven. Her thoughts are on God while her hands are busy in her household and in caring for her husband and her children. And so it says in verse 31, give her the fruit of her hands. And let her own works praise her in the gates. And you know, if she's this kind of a woman, the fruit of her hands are just fine as a reward. She is very happy with the fruit of her hands because what her hands have done is that they have served God first and primarily, and they have served her husband, they have served her children, they have served strangers, and she has conducted her life with strength for doing what's right, honorable behavior in each situation, speaking with kindness, looking well to the ways of her household. As a result, those who know her best praise her most. Her strength is in her character, and as a result, her rewards and blessings are abundant. There's nothing better than as a woman to be able to look back over decades and decades and decades of marriage and be satisfied with the fruit of your hands. Well, you know, you're growing that fruit every single day in every choice that you make, in the decisions about what am I going to do now towards my husband? What am I going to do now with reference to my work? And most importantly, what am I going to do now in terms of my relationship with God? You fear the Lord. You work hard. You take good care of your husband and children so he can trust you and so that you do him good and not evil. He'll be very happy with the fruit of your hands. But if you're that foolish woman who plucks your house down, the fruit of your hands are going to be rotten and bitter. I would hope that each of us, as we enter into old age, can look back and say, you know, I'm glad to have reaped what I've sown. May each of us today, and especially the women among us, as this has been the focus of our study, work every day at sowing good, sowing trust, sowing industry, sowing the fear of God. and you will find praise from both men and God, both now and in eternity. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you that you have given us this profile so that our women know how they ought to conduct themselves towards their husband, of being trustworthy and doing him good and not evil, toward their work, being industrious and hardworking, and towards you, Father, having your fear, and thus living honorably and living strongly for you. Father, I pray that every woman in this assembly might have from her husband and her children abundant and voluminous praise for the goodness of the works of her hands. Lord, I pray for the men and the children in this assembly that they would be grateful and frequently tell their mom and their wife, thank you for the work you do. And Lord, I pray that there might be a reciprocity between husbands and wives of loving and serving in their respective roles, so that every home is a happy home in which each selflessly seeks the good of the other and not of themselves. Father, cure us, I pray, of selfishness and self-centeredness. And instead, give us the perspective of this woman who thinks of others, puts them first, even at the expense of her own comfort and ease. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.